All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy love, Thy kindness. We thank You that You're so gracious to allow us to come and fellowship around Your Word and to listen to the will of Your desires and Your will, and that we can perform those things. You also said, let Your request be made known, and therefore we are praying about the things You heard about earlier. But more than anything of our will be, we want Your will to be, and that's the key. We want whatever You want, Father, and we accept that as Your chosen will that will work out for our good. Father, we're just grateful for the men of God that stood in and preached. We appreciate Bobby being here for the last few weeks. We know that he'll be leaving here soon, but what a great blessing it has been to just in great fellowship with him, and may it refresh his bones and spirit, and may him send home renewed, not to give up, just to keep preaching. It's still great stuff. Nobody listens, it doesn't matter. We know that it's the truth. For we ask all in Christ's name and in His special blood. Amen. Amen. All right. I appreciate everybody tuning in all over the fruited plains. And we are so grateful to be here to be your Bible teacher. And I stand humbly before you, just thrilled that I get the opportunity to preach the Word of God. We have just a great group of people up in Kentucky growing in grace. And I don't know, did Norm and those guys get to show up? Norm and Sue, I hope they showed up. Maybe they'll zap me a text message. There's some new people that have been kind of growing in grace and learning. And we've got Carrie's brother there. We also want to give a shout out to him. And Bill and Laura are faithful listeners down in Elba. I tell you, it's been amazing. They are very supportive of the ministry and of the broadcast. We are just grateful that we could be a part of their lives and ministry as well. I want you to turn back to Acts chapter 10, where we stopped, kind of. And I want to pick up where we left off. Now, these two statements are to two Gentiles by two different groups. One is by Peter, which is over here in the 12, and one's by Paul. And one says, fear God and work righteousness. And this one says, not by works. Well, you can't have them both at the same time. That's going to get confusing. Say, well, this one says, fear God and work righteousness. This one says, not by works of righteousness. And that is the essence of rightly dividing. Why? Well, also that we've discussed this morning had to do with what? A kingdom. But when you get to the Apostle Paul, who wrote Romans through Philemon, he did not write Hebrews, but in 13 books of the New Testament, boy, I almost sound like a 13-year-old boy. Did you hear that? I think I'm getting younger.
Carry on.
Romans through Philemon wrote 13 books of the New Testament. Not one time in those 13 books, not one time did he ever prepare the Gentiles to go through the tribulation and to bless a Jew. Now, I said I wasn't going to go to Matthew 25, but I thought during the break I better do this, because this is what you would have to do if you as a Gentile were going into the tribulation. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all His holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Before Him shall He gather all nations. Someone say Gentiles.
Gentiles.
Oh, like you mean it. They can't hear you. Listen, they can't hear you on the internet when you go, Gentiles. All right, let's try it again. Gentiles. That's who that is. Those are nations. Those are Gentile nations. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divided the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand. Who are the sheep? Let's say that. Gentile nations. But the goats on the left. Who are the goats?
Gentile nation.
What divides them? Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Notice it's when? From. Here we got since. Now the Gentiles, it's from the foundation. You got it? That's interesting, isn't it? That's interesting. Now, he goes this way. Verse 35. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was a thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer, saying unto him, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry, or fed thee, or thirsty, or gave thee drink? Or when saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto him, listen to this very carefully. Verily I say unto you, you Gentile nations, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, the Jews, you have done it unto me. I'll bless them that what? Man, that's the whole idea of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's Genesis chapter 12 laid out. When is that going to play out? That's going to play out in this tribulation period. Well, then how could the Gentiles become spiritual Israel? If everybody sells out like Israel's supposed to do, who's going to bless them? Hello? Don't make me say this again. Hello? Can't do it. You can't do it. Alan, did you get that? Alan's sharp as a tack. He's a fireman. Thank God for you. No, I'm not kidding you. If you have a fire, you want him in charge. I guess. I think so. Well, no, I mean, you know, I don't want to be too presumptuous, you know. So why do these people go into this kingdom? They blessed Israel, period. And if all the Gentiles become spiritual Israel, or somehow we get drafted into spiritual Israel, and they're all spiritual Israel, then who does this? You know, that doesn't work. And then he says, look in 41. What?
Everybody becomes spiritual, you know, then it wouldn't be a need for a rapture.
Or everybody going to rapture.
Well, no,
yeah. Appreciate it, Lynn.
Down here in the kingdom.
Yeah, amen. Verse 41. Now watch this. Then shall he say unto them on his left hand, which are who?
Gentile
nations. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer. Who's the they? The ghosts, the Gentile nations. Also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, and or sick, or in prison, or did not minister unto thee? Then shall he say unto them, saying, Verily I say, inasmuch as you did it not to one of these, one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it not unto me. Wow. That's clear. Amen. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment for the righteousness and the life eternal. But the righteous life eternal. So there's going to be in the tribulation Israel, right? There's going to be sheep and goats. The sheep are what? Blessers. And the goats are what? Just like we had back here in the Old Testament. And just like the two confirmations of Matthew 15 and Luke 7, and now the centurion servant, all the same.
Right.
Until you get to Paul.
Right.
That's why this statement is so fantastical. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Why? What did these other Gentiles have to do in order to get it? They had to bless. Well, now there's what? You don't have no blessing Israel. Or by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. What would the works be for the Gentiles in all the other places in the Bible? Bless them. You don't have to do that anymore. Not only that, Paul's not preparing these people to go into this kingdom. He's preparing them to leave planet Earth. The hope is different. Paul's not preparing in 13 books. He doesn't tell you to go bless a Jew and get through the kingdom and get into that kingdom. He doesn't tell you one time to do that. Not one time does he mention that you're the priest of God, that a lot of people who think they're spiritual Israel think they are. Not one time in 13 books. And you know what? I know that Jesus Christ called them to be my apostle. Look, if you will, in just some basic passage. Romans chapter 11. I want you, a lot of you guys got this down, but a lot of people watching on the internet may not have it down. And I want you to get out a piece of paper and pencil and write these down, memorize them, think about them. Why the Apostle Paul? The Jesus that called the 12 is the same Jesus that saved and called the Apostle Paul. So one, if he was going to do the same program, he would have just had them trained by the 12. There would be no reason to come down and make all the hoopla, the bright light down on the road to Damascus. There would be no reason for that. There would be no point for that. He could get it from the 12. Other people were getting it. And listen, if he was part of the 12 regime, he'd have had it written in his heart. Take no thought for what you shall speak. It'll be given you the same hour. I mean, he didn't even have to know. He didn't have to do that. But the Lord made a point of coming back to planet Earth to save the Apostle Paul. Now, that's weird, isn't it? That's a big deal. Kingdom's already set. Everything's set. Everything's going along the way. But he makes a special journey down to spend some time with the Apostle Paul. That's a big deal. You know what? Most people don't even know who Paul is. Much less the doctrine, and yet he wrote half the New Testament. It is sad. But this is what the Bible says. In Romans chapter 11, verse 13, the repeating is by my lovely wife. Brought to you by, if you like the repeating, make sure you drop her a little note and tell her how charming she is. I, of course, think she is the fantastic, most beautiful woman on the planet. And she's mine, all mine. What? Don't you think that dress you got on today is beautiful? I've been thrilled ever since I got up this morning. I'm just like, I can't believe I get to walk next to her.
I've been here long enough, I can agree with you.
That is true. What?
Nothing, man. Romans 11.
Look, you gotta love your wife a little bit along the way. It works, guys. Hey, look, here's how you know. The length of time you've been married tells you a little bit. But listen, when you're still sitting together and holding each other's hand, I watched Brother Moore and Mrs. Moore hold hands up until the day they died. He died. They loved each other. He was romantic about his wife. And if they ever get a hold of a wife, buddy, they're going to be, the Bible says he got a good thing. Just wash her with the word a little bit. Use a little positive energy. Leonard said, get back to focus, please. Am I stepping on your toes, brother? No. No, I mean, it's a good thing. I get up here and preach, and I think, you know, she helps me repeat those verses, and you guys don't realize what a vital part she is. All right, verse 13. Y'all there? Romans 11, 13?
Yes, sir.
Brought to you by my lovely wife. For I speak to you Gentiles. And he wrote now. For I speak to you Gentiles. Hallelujah. Something to us. Amen. Inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentile, I magnify my office. Wow. Go to Romans 15, verse 16. Now, Jesus Christ called them all. It's like, well, I want to follow the 12. I've got to follow Jesus' earthly ministry. I've got to. Yep. I've got to. That's what I want to do. Well, you're crazy. It says, if you lust upon a woman, to pluck out your eyes. You know how Bobby would look? Sterling would be like this. Tony, blind as a bat. Pluck out your eye. I want to do that. Can I do that, please? Please let me do that. Well, he didn't really mean that, really. Really? Oh, he was just joking. Jesus jokes. Yeah, you know, I mean, come on. That's almost silly, isn't it? If you look upon a woman to lust after, he said, pluck out your eyes. Oh, I like doing Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I like the part that they provide themselves neither money in their purses or script. Brother, aren't you glad that ain't true? Wade was a little bit freaked out because his script was gone. Back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, no script. You wouldn't have been a good Baptist. If you believe Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John had got a sermonette, he didn't believe the word of God. It's crazy. Romans 15, y'all there? Verse 16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentile, ministering up the gospel of God, the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Let's try it again. Go, if you will, to 1 Timothy
1:11.
12, aren't you guys marked up? 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 7. Whereof I'm ordained a preacher and apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Who's the preacher, teacher, and apostle to the Gentiles?
Paul,
2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. Whereunto I'm ordained a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the what?
Gentiles.
All right, so we have now determined that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. Amen?
Yes.
Go to Galatians chapter 2. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Now, if they were all preaching the same gospel, and many, I believe the whole Bible is the same one, uno gospel, uno hope, uno gospel. That was Schwarzenegger. All I want to do is pump you up. Verse 6, Galatians 2, verse 6. But of these who seem to be somewhat, hey, I recommend you writing down the 12 apostles. That's who we're talking about. Whosoever they were maketh no matter to me. God accepted no man person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added what? All right, so when they got together and the 12 talked to Paul, how much did they add to Paul?
Nothing.
Right? Nothing. All right? But, verse 7. But, what does but mean? Something's coming up you're going to need to pay attention to. But contrary-wise, what does that mean? Whatever they didn't add to him, he added something back to them. When they saw the gospel of the uncircumcised. Well, if there was one gospel, how come they didn't see it before? I've got it on time. This meeting is sometime after Paul gets saved there. They're in Jerusalem. Why is this the first time the 12 see it? I mean, if they're preaching it in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, then why does Galatians say they're just now seeing it when Paul's got it? And I know that Paul didn't get saved before Acts chapter 9. I've got that on the timeline. And if they're preaching the same thing, that's why Titus and Acts 10 don't sound alike. Why? Titus chapter 3 has been a mystery that was what? Kept secret since the world began. And so they didn't know it, but they saw it here. Look at this, verse 7. But contrarywise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, unto Paul. As the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Hey guys, boys and girls, that's two gospels. It ain't one. Two groups. One's 12, one's Paul. One's going to the Jews, get them into the kingdom. One's Paul. You know what Paul's preparing them for? He's not preparing them to go into that kingdom. He's preparing them to leave the planet Earth. He's preparing a church that isn't even going to be on the planet Earth. His whole preparation, his whole hope has nothing to do. Well, if you start to mix up the earthly kingdom that was promised to Israel and the heavenly promised to the church, you're going to get a lot of doctrine incorrect. Period. A lot of doctrine you're going to get screwed up. You know, the hope of the church is to leave the planet. Look in Galatians chapter 1. A couple other things about this. Galatians 1, verse 4. Galatians 1, verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ of verse 3. You see that? From our Lord Jesus Christ. Who, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Well, he's talking about a delivery away from the planet. Up here. We're not going into that kingdom. We've got a hope far above all heavens. We've got a different hope, a different gospel, one that they hadn't seen. And that hope establishes the joy of rightly dividing. You start to say, hey, there's something that God had done for me. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Our hope is in a kingdom. You're not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You're not an Israelite. You have a more precious hope. Verse 16, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. Well, here we go. Right here. Here it is. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall what? Alright, there are some people that are asleep in the Lord. Paul would be one of those. He's going to rise up. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. That doesn't sound like the earthly kingdom. That wasn't promised in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. A kingdom was promised in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The hope wasn't leaving the planet. Our hope is leaving the planet. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Look, if you will, in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Not the kingdom of heaven here on earth. The kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall rise, what? Incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We're going to leave this planet, folks. Our hope is not this planet. If this is your hope, then you've got the wrong hope. If you're spiritual Israel, your hope is a kingdom here physically on earth. But the church, the body of Christ, this church that Paul started with a new gospel, which was a what?
A mystery.
Hope is leaving and meeting the Lord in the air, not going into that kingdom right over there. Man, that's rightly dividing. You see, otherwise, you're going to be mixed up in churches that teach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, like it's sending you to heaven. Nobody in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is going to heaven. Nobody. Not even the Gentiles that bless. The only church that's going to heaven is the church, the body of Christ. Not only that, go to Romans 16. There is no way you can mess this up unless you just want to be disobedient to a holy and righteous God. There's no way you can mess this up unless you are just rebellious as hell itself and say, I won't believe the Word of God. And that's your problem. That's your belief. And then God isn't confusing you. You got it straight this morning. Amen? Ain't anybody listening to this internet program that's got confusion going through their mind? They've got that there's at least two programs. Amen? With two different hopes. One's a kingdom. One's leaving the planet. One's based upon the 12 and the 12 thrones and the 12 tribes and that new city coming down. And it's about a kingdom that was promised in Daniel chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 6 and Isaiah 9. And all the other, Isaiah 60, I mean, I can just go through kingdom after kingdom message. And your hope isn't that hope. Your hope is based upon a gospel that God kept a secret. Look, if you will, in Romans 16. Verse 25. Romans 16:25. Now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel. What gospel? The gospel of the uncircumcision. Paul's gospel. The gospel of Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 should be right there. You got that in your Bible? Do you have Romans chapter 2, verse 16?
Yes.
And 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Or 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. Yeah, 2 Timothy 2, 8. That's my gospel. It's Paul's gospel, the one he received on the road to Damascus, which, by the way, has been what? Well, come on. If it really means it was kept secret since the world began, did they teach it in Genesis through Malachi?
No.
Did they teach it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
No.
Did they teach it in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 if they didn't get nothing from Paul?
No.
First place it could have gotten is right here, is the gospel. That's the only gospel that can save a person today. It's the only gospel. It's the only gospel. It doesn't matter. You go to a church that teaches Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and there isn't a person that could ever get saved. And that's where 99.9% of the churches, just give me their tapes, I'll show you. Send the tapes. I'll show you. I'll play them on the air. It's ridiculous. And they go, well, do I need to lay up for the tribulation? I mean, when 2000 came along, boy, people go, are we supposed to lay up? Are we going through the tribulation? Man, they were canned foods, water, batteries. It was like a hurricane's coming. You know why? They don't rightly divide. This was kept secret since the what? World began. Why would God do that? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is why He kept it a secret. Verse 6. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor none of the princes of this world that come to naught. That's Satan and his angels. But we speak the wisdom of God in a, everybody,
mystery.
Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained when? Before. Well, these have been since and from. But now this gospel was before the foundation of the world that was right there. Well, these two gospels could not be the same as this gospel. Otherwise, he would have said before the world began. Or before the world, from before the foundation. But he didn't say that. He said since and from. And now you got a before. You know what? There is a unique hope. So there's three hopes. Guess what? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and it all has to do with those three things. We have a far above all heavens. We've got the priesthood, which is a heavenly calling, and then the Gentiles that are on earth. The priesthood and the body. Three inheritance. The body, the priesthood, and the earthly kingdom for the Gentiles. Guess how many? Since, from, before. How many?
Three.
That's fascinating, isn't it? That's fascinating. But if you made it all one, you'd be confused. If you made it all one gospel, you'd be confused. You'd be wondering, well, what do I do? What do I do? Well, then some of them will decide, hey, I'm going to make myself a spiritual Jew. Say, what tribe are you from? I don't know.
I was a tribe of Dan.
You know, say, well, will you be sitting on the east side, the west side, or the north side, or the south side? I don't know. And you know what's really weird is the Gentiles that do go into the kingdom, they will have to thrust their kids through that prophesied lies.
That's right. Willingly.
There was a few times I was willingly, and it wasn't legal here. I mean, if you had teenage kids, some of them need a little thrusting through.
That's right.
Y'all understand? That's going to be tough. In the kingdom. It's not fit for you to live. Oh, I want to go through that. Your hope is far above. Look at this. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world under our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Or had they known it? The what? The mystery. They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So whatever Paul got on the road to Damascus, had it been taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they would not have what? And they didn't start teaching it right away. Why? Because when they got together, they added nothing to the Apostle Paul, but when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision. So I know it couldn't be before Acts chapter 9 that they saw it. So they're not preaching it in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Not bad preaching, amen? That works time-wise. And you can bend and manipulate and you can try to make all the verses to fit your doctrine. But you know what? You're going to answer before a holy and righteous God about what you believe. And listen, let me tell you what. He laid it out where it's clear, and I made it even clearer to you. I promise you, my job isn't to confuse you. It's to make it clear. There's a church that was started with the Apostle Paul that is uniquely different, that the gospel is different. What is the gospel? Well, go to 1 Corinthians 15. There ain't no way. Yeah, you know what? You're having a problem because of your pride and arrogance and haughty attitude. Because this stuff ain't hard to believe. It ain't hard to believe. You just don't want to believe it because you'll have to give up all your religion. Verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach on you. Why didn't he say the 12? It wasn't the 12. Which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. Going to be saved?
Are.
Shall be saved?
Are.
May be saved?
Are
saved. Then that means you're not going to get saved over and over and over and over again. You're never going to lose your salvation. If you are saved, you are saved. If you keep in memory of what I preached on you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, well, that wouldn't have been true either if the 12 had preached it.
That's right.
For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which everybody preached.
No,
that which I also received. I would put Acts chapter 9 in my King James Bible right there. Verse 15. If I was you, if I was a Bible student, yeah, I would whip it out. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. We know it wasn't before Acts chapter 9. How that Christ died for our sins. According to the Scriptures. That He was buried and that He rose again the third day. According to the Scriptures. Did Jesus Christ die for all your sins?
Yes.
Well, Paul's message was that Christ died for your sins. If He took all your sins and placed them upon His Son, how many sins do you have now?
Zero.
You know how many? Zero. Now, that means everybody's sins are paid for at Calvary. Now, does that mean everybody's saved?
No.
The moment you trust the Lord, He gives you something back in return. It's called the righteousness of God. Now, with you being as righteous as God, hi, by being good?
No.
By keeping the law?
No.
By blessing?
No.
It's the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You get the righteousness of God. Okay, I don't want that. I want to work for my righteousness. You've got to be kidding me. You have a chance at having the righteousness of God and you want to work for it? Are you joking me? Come on, you're just fudging with me, aren't you? I couldn't think of another word. Best I could come up with at the time. You got to be joshing me, huh? You're going to go around establishing your own righteousness when God is willing to impute unto him his righteousness? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm confused by your ignorance. I'm confused by your pride. I would be confused by that.
Well, I'm going to be the best Christian in the world.
Well, there wasn't any good Christians. David, a man after God's own heart, was an adulterer and a murderer. And you don't want to know about Debbie over here. And look at William. You don't want to be like William. There's a few things I know. And Norm, who would want to be like him? But you know what? If I could have the righteousness of God, I'd want that. Amen?
Amen.
Give me that. I want that as a gift. 2 Corinthians 5. I mean, think about it. Verse 21, 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For he hath made him, that is, he, God, hath made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be what? Sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Someone say hallelujah. That's unbelievable. Okay, I would rather go around blessing the Jews to gain my salvation. I'd rather keep the commandments, sell out, do, endure, be baptized, all the things the Jews had to do, huh?
Right.
Here, all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
That's right.
Three different hopes. Far above all heaven for the body, the priest, and the earthly kingdom.
That's right.
Three hopes, three gospels. You know what? A Gentile couldn't become a Jew in the sense of Jew and get saved like a Gentile. There are Gentiles that get saved just by blessing Israel. Israel gets saved by doing certain things to get through the tribulation. And the body of Christ does nothing. It's all been prepared. And at the end, there's going to be a shout. And he's going to call forth the church, the body of Christ, and we're going to leave the planet. Now, I didn't finish reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want you to listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 16 again. I want to get down to 18 verse I want. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's your hope. Man, my vile body is going to be fashioned like his glorious body, and I am not going to be the person you don't like. I am going to put on the righteousness of God where you can see it for all eternity and stand forth before all the kingdoms that God had made and join heirs with that. I'm not in one of the kingdoms. I'm joint heirs of all the kingdoms. Wow. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. God's got a plan. And that plan started for you with the Apostle Paul. With a mystery of the gospel that hadn't been seen in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they'd never crucified him. All I want to do in my life is be a great preacher. I don't want riches, money untold, I love this gospel. It was the gospel that saved me. The gospel that brought me to eternal salvation. And if you don't run to find this Bible, you know, if someone walked in now, they'd think we're crazy. So great to be saved, isn't it? It really is fantastic. You know what? People struggle with this stuff all the time, and they never do figure it out. I watch Norm and some of those people. Thank God some of our Facebook friends are saved, ain't it? You can tell the difference. I mean, immediately it's like, oh, that person needs a little salvation there. The ones that are saved know that they're saved. You know, my job is to clarify that for you. And you know, everything you can do and be part of is absolutely amazing. So, what do you have to do?
Nothing.
You don't have to do anything.
Nothing.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You know, I wrote this song back when I first got saved. I mean, the day I got saved. And I sing it all the time, and the kids thought it was a hymnal. I want to teach it to you again. And one day I may die, and I want you to sing it at my funeral, okay? All you got to do is believe that Jesus did it all for you and me. Totally paid the price, isn't he? Gracious enough. That all you got to do is believe. All you got to do is receive the finished work of Calvary. Totally paid the price, isn't he? Gracious enough. That all you got to do is receive.